MobileZone.com.
Yakety yak, and they all talk back. Who could I possibly be referring to? Of course, our politicians. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's where we start naturally. But there's a lot of news happening out of Foggy Bottom. And, of course, a lot of that affects many of us in our backyards. Number one, what are we going to see as we get closer to Election Day? A little over a year and change from now. It's interesting because the game will change, certainly on the Republican side of things. You know how I feel. If you've never listened to America Tonight, right from the start, I'm beating the drum in a much different direction because I think we really need a third party. And I used to say to myself, I don't know that I'll ever see that in my lifetime. Now I'm almost convinced we will see that because you can see the frustrations being played out all over the place. And I hear you. I feel you. I can relate to you. Trust me. As always, on this overnight highway, you get to mix and mingle. Certainly feel free to sprinkle in those opinions. We're going to start first, as I said, with the politicians and what's happening with the president's jobs bill. He's given now six speeches with really in a month's time. The last place where he spoke, of course, was Dallas on Tuesday, and he took a couple of swings, mostly at Republicans, mostly at Eric Cantor, but a little bit at John Boehner. And all of this is over. Why are they not passing this? Why are they not trying to get America back to work? And the problem is, as you know, when you break this down and look under the hood and take some time to really check out what this plan is about, this $447 billion plan, you know, the bottom line is it's going to heap on more costs to most of us in America, and it's only going to take care of a very small sector of workers. One, temporary workers. We're talking about shovel jobs, infrastructure, all of that. So, in his speech, Obama said that Cantor won't even let the jobs bill have a vote in the House of Representatives. He won't even give it a vote. And he said, I'd like Mr. Cantor to come down to Dallas and explain what in this jobs bill he doesn't believe in. And if you won't do that, at least put this jobs bill up for a vote so that the entire country knows exactly where every member of Congress stands. And this is, as I said, number six on the jobs package as he's trying to figure out, I think, how to go after the Republicans and how to jumpstart the economy and create jobs. I mean, unemployment, that's a killer because it is much higher than 9.1%. But if we stick with the official number, that's okay. Then we'll say that just under 10. And if the unemployment number was in a different direction, of course, if the economy was in better shape, then this president wouldn't find that his numbers are going backwards. And, you know, even Democrats don't like some of the provisions of this plan that he's pitched to Congress. And has there been any big changes in the plan? And the answer is no. There's nothing different from what has been proposed and what's on the table. And let me refresh you. The plan would reduce payroll taxes for employees and employers. It would extend jobless benefits. It would give $35 billion in aid to states to, they say, prevent, the president says, to prevent almost 300,000 teachers and first responders from layoffs. And it would add $30 billion for high school and community colleges to be modernized. And it would boost spending as well on public works projects, so that the infrastructure stuff that I talked about, roads, bridges, all of that stuff. And then here's the big one. We keep hearing tax breaks for new employers to hire the unemployed, but they're not getting that. Plus, the real kick in the pants is the health law. You know, what now is our health care system that is being challenged, the individual mandate and going up the flagpole to the Supremes. So the bottom line is it's not creating what the employers need to hire people who are looking for jobs. Really, have you looked around? I saw a headline today in the USA Today that said America's desperate. They're on Craigslist looking for jobs, meaning that people are looking everywhere and anywhere. That you put up in a pizza place, help wanted, and you get hundreds of people, depending on the location, hundreds of people applying for a job as a waiter. I mean, what does that tell you? We know that. We know it's ugly out there. And nothing is, in a nutshell, nothing is turning that around unless you move the corporate, I think, unless you move the corporate tax. And unless America starts to produce things, because we're not producing things. We don't make things anymore in America, and that is a huge part of the problem. So Senator Mitch McConnell threw in his two cents on jobs in the press. Take a listen.
I've noticed a number of Democrats have expressed their concerns about various parts of it, but what the president's asked for is not parts of it, but the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought at one point he was saying, okay, we'll talk about parts of it, but he's right, of course. The president is not doing that. It's like, take this or it's your fault that we're in this situation. It's not going to pass. It's not going to float. I don't think it's going to float, even with some Republicans who will support it. I don't think so. Uh-uh. I don't think so. All right, here's a big deal. This is a big deal for Herman Cain. You know the name Herman Cain now, businessman turned presidential candidate trying to snag the Republican nomination. Well, it finally happened for him. He popped up in a poll where he trumped Mitt Romney. He caught Romney. It was a CBS poll that came out, and in the last 2 weeks, boy, he has certainly gained some serious momentum, and he's now in a tie with Romney. And in the CBS News poll, Rick Perry has fallen 11 percentage points, which is huge. You know, he was the darling just a couple of weeks ago. So here's how that poll ranked everyone. Mitt Romney had 17% of the Republican primary voters, as does Herman Cain. Rick Perry, 12%. How about this? Newt Gingrich, 8%. Ron Paul, 7%. Michelle Bachmann, 4%. And then you go on down from there, Rick Santorum, 2%, and John Huntsman, 2%. And here's an interesting number, undecided, didn't know where they were going to go, 18% said that's how they felt now at this point. So we're doing our own straw poll here on America Tonight. Who would you vote for if you had to vote now? I mentioned all the candidates. Our poll shows Herman Cain on top with 30, and Ron Paul certainly not in single digits. He's got 27 votes. Mitt Romney has 14, Rick Perry has 11, and Michelle Bachmann has 9 in the America Tonight straw poll. Remember, we're doing it for the rest of this week, and then it'll kick into next week, and then we'll give you the graphs and charts and let you know how each week progressed here on ATN. Coming up on the flip side, oh, we can count, and we're going to prove it. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic, land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
$15 million is the number. Two stories, $15 million. Significant and topping, we can count. Here's the first one. The National Cathedral repairs, they say, are going to run $15 million and could take a decade. Do you know what I'm referring to? Remember that earthquake? Yep. It's going to reopen in November, but to repair the damage, that's how much the cost was. And 10 years. The English Gothic Cathedral has been closed since the end of August as they try to stabilize the stone pinnacles and some other things that got dislodged in the quake. So they're going to raise $25 million and includes $15 million for the short-term repairs and $10 million to help pay for the cathedral's operations through the end of 2012. See, people thought that was no big deal, but it was a big deal when it dropped because you've got those beams. I mean, the workers are trying to place steel beams that are a total of like 70 tons, they say, in the central tower. So you got the scaffolding going up and, you know, it's key aspects of what happened to the National Cathedral. You could see it. I mean, it's a... one of the national landmarks, and they're not going to not try to fix that. So that's just more money. But they're doing fundraisers. What kind of fundraisers do you do to open the National Cathedral? $15 million. Still hoping to raise 25, though. All right, so the other $15 million, you're going to remember this story. When I first saw the headline, I was like, ah, do I remember that? Do I remember that skywalk collapse? And I was like, yeah, I remember. In Atlanta, the walkway that collapsed. Well, that was as a result, finally, because it seems like it takes forever to settle these things in or out of court. Of course, in court, it can get tied up for a long time. But an attorney for workers who sued over the collapse of that walkway that was under construction in the Botanical Garden says that now settlements that are totaling more than $15 million have been reached. And this is how long it took. It was a canopy walk that collapsed in 2008. It dropped construction workers up to maybe 40 feet to the ground. One guy was killed, 18 others were injured, and they had some terrible injuries, a lot of brain injuries and also some spinal injuries, leaving some in wheelchairs and that kind of stuff. So there were all kinds of lawsuits that were filed, and they were filed against the Botanical Gardens and seven construction companies. So they the paper there is reporting that the lawyers for the gardens say it hired contractors and they were insured, but you know the bottom line is $15 million of settlements. Although I'd have to think that some of those people that were seriously injured, I'm sorry, money can't, I don't care how much money they give you, and you should sue when something like that happens. That's a legitimate lawsuit, but it's not going to bring back the things that are, you know, literally killing some of them. And for many of you have even had, I don't care how old you are, you ever had a back tweak, you know, you torque your back. It's an awful feeling. I mean, everything stems from the back, especially if you're athletic, even if you walk when you walk. So can you imagine what now happened to some of those guys? That's how they make their living. They're construction workers. They certainly need to have a solid spine to be able to climb on the beams and do the things that they were doing. So I don't believe that they would wish that on anyone. So bravo that they did get that money. All right, you'll find this number interesting. It's the first cancellation. I guess nobody liked the bunnies. Shocker. NBC said their biggest gamble on primetime was the first canceled show of the season. And what was it? The Playboy Club was pulled from the schedule. They tried to sort of replicate the Mad Men theme, but they didn't do a Mad Men. That's the problem. So it had low ratings, and it dropped for each of the three times it was on the air. The last night, they had 3.4 million viewers and a 1.2 rating in the adult demo. So they got, you know, they got clobbered, and they canceled it. If you missed it, I'm sure you can probably dig it up somewhere. Instead, they're going to put repeats in. But, boy, they pumped this. They were pumping this as hard as they could. And it just didn't work. It didn't take off. See, that's the thing. There's nothing like the original. If they were trying to kind of cleverly disguise this and make it sort of like a Mad Men, you just can't do it. There is nothing like the original, and a copycat will always fail. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but I think especially in writing and especially with some of these series where you can have some things that have similarities or storylines or, you know, whatever, this was one where there's no way. People are going to watch Mad Men where they perennially get the Emmy for the best show, dramatic show. I think too many people are watching it, too many people get it, and they're invested in that one, and they're not flipping over to a poor man's copy of it. Nah. Did you ever see Phantom of the Opera? Well, if you've seen Phantom of the Opera, then you would know that Phantom of the Opera is 25 years old. Ooh, 25 years old. Can you believe it? I saw Phantom of the Opera when I was covering the Dallas Cowboys, and we flew into New York, and somebody had, how great is this for a story? I'm sure all of you have this where a buddy gives you tickets or whatever. That doesn't happen so much to me. But here, somebody on the plane said to me, oh, I've got tickets for Phantom of the Opera, and I just want to pass them down to you. You can take them, just do with them whatever you want. And, of course, they had great seats, so I had great seats to Phantom of the Opera. And it was, I thought it was okay. It wasn't my favorite, but somebody likes it. 25 years is a long time to survive and really thrive. They still constantly find that audience over and over and over again. I talked about Herman Cain and the fact that he was tied in that CBS poll with Mitt Romney, that they both had 17%. It's interesting. Herman Cain, if you go to Amazon, he's got a book on Amazon, and naturally, because his campaign is getting a lot of attention, his book is getting a lot of attention, and Cain's book, his memoir, hit the top 10 on Amazon.com. And it reminds me, because I haven't really plugged this book very much, and now people are getting on me about it, but I have a book called Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS, or Really Fun Sports Facts. And this book, I checked, because I don't follow this either, it fluctuates, but it was number one in sports history and number six in sports humor, for whatever that means, on Amazon. But Herm Cain, so you can go to Amazon, you can check out my book. It's less than $10. But Herm Cain's memoir, like I said, it jumped up because winning the Florida straw poll on the 24th of February is the thing. And Simon and Schuster put this one out. And remember, they do a lot of the political people. They did the book with Vice President Dick Cheney, and I think they did Glenn Beck's book even. And in this one, Cain talks about growing up during segregation in the South and leaps ahead to what he hopes is the White House. And now he was considered a long shot for the nomination, but now in a lot of these surveys, like we mentioned, he's right there neck and neck at the top. But how long does he stay there? How does he continue to enhance the momentum that he's been able to grab? And he's doing it at the right time, certainly, because Rick Perry's star is fading and his is rising, maybe in the next couple of months, and you see what happens. You got to watch him in all of what's being written, and, of course, what any of the polls have to say. And in our own straw poll, he leads. So certainly there are people that are curious, interested, and think that Cain could do a good job, because he isn't part of the political machine, I can tell you that. He's not a politician. He's a business guy. Can a businessman be the president of the United States and do a better job than some of these lawyers that have ascended to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, 800-259-5791. Odds and ends next.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL securitygroup.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Tonight, the Phillies beat the Cardinals. D-backs are alive. And as the Yankees force a Game 5 with Detroit. I know there's a lot of Yankee fans that listen to America Tonight, but there's also a lot of Tiger fans, too. So pretty interesting. The Rangers beat the Rays, so they move on to the American League Championship Series. They'll just hang out and wait to see who it is they're going to face. But that's coming up next. We'll give you all the exciting details on that. This story really caught my eye because I was thinking how tough it is with career paths now. It's not like it was 4 decades ago, 3 decades ago, 2 decades ago, and even, dare I say, a decade ago. We know it's rough sledding out there. We talk about it each and every show. We pound it into the ground, in fact, talking about the unemployment numbers, jobs, bills, yakety-yak, all that stuff. And I saw this thing about NASA. You know, I'm fascinated by the whole space program in general. And in early November, NASA is going to look for its next, they say, their next class of astronaut candidates because they want to boost the reserves of astronauts. They need backup players, so to speak. So, and the only reason that this has come up is they realized one day, wow, we don't really have a deep bench. Can you imagine? The National Research Council pointed out that the core is pretty small. So they're looking for scientists, engineers, and other professionals. What are other professionals? Who have dreamed of experiencing space flight. And that's what they say. And that's what they're announcing. So it's not just rocket scientists. And what's interesting is you could have a bachelor's degree in engineering, science, or math, and 3 years of some kind of professional experience. That's all that's required to be considered. Although, to successfully get through the process, you would have to have, if you had this, it would be helpful, you know, some kind of flying high-performance jet aircraft stuff. You know, that experience that matters. Yeah, I used to fly jets. Can I be an astronaut, please? They say that they're looking for maybe 8 to 12. So it's not some big cattle call like every other job that I've mentioned on the show, like being a waiter or gardener or whatever. Yeah, we're talking 8 to 12 people. That's pretty, pretty tiny. And if you become one of the astronauts, you're not trained necessarily as a pilot, even though some would be. The focus would be on those long duration missions, how, you know, what you could take, all the things that the astronauts have to go through. And they say the last time that they picked 9 people. So the next class would be those people that do those missions to the station, the International Space Station, and they're working on the transportation ways to get them there now. That would be kind of cool because they would be part of the exploratory programs that would include anything beyond what they call the low Earth orbit. You know what that means? That means potluck, baby. You're not getting in the shuttle. The shuttle is mothballed. If you want to see a shuttle, we got a couple of locations, but they're in museums. Like, one's going to the Intrepid. And pretty much what you would be trained in would be robotic stuff and all that, and, you know, any of the extra vehicles that they have. And we know that we have to hitch a ride with the Russians. So I think if you were an engineer, top of your class, happened to fly, and you speak Russian, you shouldn't be unemployed because we have a job for you. You probably might have a good chance, and depending on your age, you might have a good chance to be chosen as an astronaut. Yeah. Ooh, I can't imagine going through that training. Sitting there through all of the geophysics and stuff, that'd be enough to send me out the door, for sure. And you know what? They have to have enough astronauts because once all these things turn around, you have astronauts that have retired, that have quit, all that kind of stuff. Because of the shuttle being mothballed, they lost a lot of engineers, a lot of people that would have fallen into that category. So they're right to not fall behind. But, boy, I think you have to, even though they say in broad terms bachelors, and they're talking about, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Almost. You almost have to be a rocket scientist. I'm not sure on the space thing. There was a time that they were talking about really, really sending up, just picking people, almost not a lottery per se, but talking about sending journalists, just other people. And, of course, those that are fully loaded, have tons of money, could hitch a ride with the Russians. They'll take your money if they feel like you can, you know, you go through the training and everything. But we haven't done that. It was Christy McAuliffe that, unfortunately, when the shuttle blew up, when the shuttle went down, the Challenger, there went, you know, in the 80s, there went the idea of more people going into space. Because if that tragedy hadn't happened, I wonder now how many people would have had that opportunity. And would it have been a handful? Would it have been 15 people, less than that? But could have been from all walks of life, along with the regular crew that they had. It's kind of intriguing, I think, but it's so sad. Once that broke up, and right as soon as things were, you know, as soon as it took off, you knew that was not only a sad, terrible, terrible day, but that was the end of fast-tracking the program to put a lot of different people into space, to give more people the opportunity. And speaking of opportunity, veterans had a chance to sound off in a Pew poll. And you might be surprised to learn that some of these veterans that have fought so bravely are saying, you know, it's time to not be involved in these wars. They're not worth fighting anymore. One in three vets of the post-9/11 military say that the wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan just aren't worth it. And a majority think that after 10 years of combat, America should be focusing less on foreign affairs and more on what's happening at home. And it comes at an interesting time because there's this big struggle with our outrageous deficits, and they're talking about the Defense Department and what we can afford to chop off and what we can't afford to, take out. So now you have the military, just a small amount, but thousands, saying that they're scarred by what's happened at these wars, and they're convinced that really most of us don't have a true understanding of what they deal with in wartime service, and it's created some problems for their families and for the military. And the survey also showed that veterans are more likely than Americans as a whole to call themselves Republicans. You're not surprised by that. Of course not. And to disapprove of the president's performance as commander and chief. Interesting, huh? The Pew Research Center, you know this, is a nonpartisan organization. So they look at trends and all kinds of things, attitudes, politics, whatever. But they've never done one with the military. So this was pretty huge that they were able to do this. And nearly half of the veterans they talked to said deployment strained their relationship with their spouses and had problems with their children. But there were still others that said that their families benefited financially from having served abroad in a combat zone because they get paid more money. That's the thing, they get more money. But what a mixed bag. When I saw the one in three, that is surprising. Now, to be fair, 50% of veterans said that Afghanistan was worth it. The civilian polls, when they poll all any of us, whatever the sampling is, it's about 41%. So that's a big difference there. Of the veterans, 44% say Iraq was worth it, 36 civilians, so that changes too. And I don't know that that's necessarily a surprise or not. But there is a big cultural gap, and they talked about this, between the military and the public. Do you feel that there's that gap? I'm going to say that I know a lot of people that have served, and I don't feel like there's a gap between myself and any of my friends that have done that, or even acquaintances. But they're saying, look, there is. That, yes, there are still many Americans that hold the military in high regard, but there is definitely, they keep coming back to this, a lack of understanding of what that military life entails when you decide to take it on. And they have an isolationist kind of inclination when they come back. And about 6 in 10 said the U.S. should pay less attention to the problems overseas. And I'll bring that back around before we punch to sports here in a second. And instead, concentrate on problems at home. Boy, that's interesting. Because that's a pretty radical, I think, turnaround from what we would have thought certainly 8 years ago, 10 years ago, definitely. But it's been a long time. It's been a long and weary road that we've gone down in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Who did what to who in baseball? We'll tell you next.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of sea nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys, which have the capacity to actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. ProtoGrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners who want to grow dirt-cheap superfoods should visit the ProtoGrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
One O pitch. Swung on, that's blasted to left field. Way, way back. That ball is history. A monster home run for Adrian Beltre.
Beltre hits one deep to right field. Going back is Joyce. He's at the wall. Goodbye. Adrian Beltre at opposite field. Home run, his second of the day. And the Rangers lead the Rays 3-1. First pitch to him. Is hit high in the air. Deep left field. Jennings back at the wall. Goodbye. Number three on the day for Adrian Beltre, and the Rangers lead 4-2. Oh, my goodness.
Belize is set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and a chopper hit the Kinsler at second base. He's got it. He flips to Elvis, and the ball game's over. The force at second ends the game and ends the division series. As the Rangers celebrate just behind the mound, they have beaten the Rays 4-3 to take the series 3-1.
Garcia kicks to 1-0. And a swing and a fly ball deep left field. Going back on it, Craig. It's over his head, and it is into the Phillies bullpen and gone. A pinch hit. Three-run home run for Ben Francisco. Top of the seventh inning, and he breaks the scoreless tie. It's 3-0 Phillies. 2-2 the count. Matson kicks the pitch. Swing and a one-hopper to second. Utley's got it. His throw to first in time, and the ball game is over. The Phillies outlast the Cardinals tonight in Game 3. A thrilling 3-2 victory here in Game 3 of the Division Series.
Now the pitch to Jeter, and a breaking ball is hit high in the air. Left center field and deep. Jackson back. It's over his head. He'll corral it just shy of the wall. Posada's around third. Martin's right behind him. Posada in standing up. Martin in a slide on a two-run double by Jeter. And the Yankees lead 2-0. Hill one. Cano fights it off into left field. That's a base hit. One run is home. Here comes Gardner with a second run, scoring right behind Martin. A two-run single for Cano, and it's a blowout now. 10-1 Yankees.
Ah, you gotta love it. Playoff baseball, it's the best. How about those Texas Rangers? They can hang out and wait to find out who they're going to play, either the Yankees or the Tigers. They had a chance. The Motown men had a chance to end it and not have to go back to New York. But the Yankees are the Yankees. A.J. Burnett gets some redemption, and the Yankees murdered Detroit. 10-1 was the final score, so that series is tied at 2. You heard what happened with Texas, as I said. Congratulations to the Rangers. Just incredible. Adrian Beltre, 3 long balls, 3 home runs. Could you feel that excitement listening to the calls of Eric Nadell and Steve Busby? And my Philadelphia Phillies, Ben Francisco, man, I was jumping up in the air watching the Phillies and praying they could hang on, and they did. So Philly leads St. Louis 2-1. And, of course, Milwaukee leads the D-backs 2-1 in their series. And that's getting interesting, too, as well. I think we're going to have a great World Series ultimately. But, of course, we have to go through the championship game. So one step at a time. A quick reminder, each and every Tuesday, our Hollywood man is just... Stephen Showhead has done just an incredible job every single time we go to him every week. And we decided we were going to focus on baseball and baseball movies for the next couple of weeks. I guarantee every person listening to me, I feel very confident in this. I'm going to say 100%. I never say 100% on this show. 100% of you have seen at least one baseball movie, whether it was Major League or Bull Durham or Field of Dreams or the current one, Moneyball or League of Their Own or Pride of the Yankees. You know, pick a flavor. The Rookie. Guarantee, even if you're not a sports fan, you have been laying on the couch and one came on, you got sucked in, and you watched it. Field of Dreams, perhaps. I'm that confident. So... we're going to talk about some of the stories behind making the films in the next couple of weeks. Matt, as promised, these are pretty exciting baseball games so far out of the gate.
They've been pretty exciting. We had a couple blowouts tonight, but it was drama up until a point, I believe. It wasn't like, you know, the fourth inning came around and the game was over. They were pretty tight for a while, and even like the Yankees game, I thought there was a bunch of times with A.J. Burnett, he was walking people. There was a bunch of times where it looked like the Tigers were going to come back and win, and they just couldn't get it done. And then all of a sudden the wheels came off, and
it
was all over for the Tigers. Now they got to win in the Bronx, which is going to be hard to do. But hopefully they can pull it out, because I really hate the Yankees.
Yeah, you listening, New York? You listening, Connecticut? He hates the Yankees. Of course, no sour grapes, 99 losses for those Twins.
Well, I've always disliked them because we can never beat them in the playoffs.
Nah.
Ever.
That's why. So, it is too bad, but that's the Yankees. They can rear up and bite you at any moment. And if you give them just that little bit of edge, they'll take it and then run with it. And I thought this game was going to be closer, and it was early going. And then, as Matt said, once they blew it wide open. And here's the thing, Burnett he was getting pummeled by Yankee fans. When I was back, I was listening to some talk radio at my old station, WFAN, and they were just clobbering him. So, truly, this was his chance to end all the nonsense, and he did come through for them. And that's the thing. You got to have that defense. Of course, you got to have the bats going, but you got to have pitching.
It was nice for A-Rod to finally show up and get a hit, too.
No kidding.
First hit of the series.
Yeah, because he has been ice cold. That's the take on A-Rod. A-Rod, a lot of times if you go and look at his record, whether it was with Seattle, the Rangers, or the Yankees, he might get the numbers during the season, but sometimes he goes for those wicked slumps when you get into the playoffs. So the Yankees get through, then it's Texas and the Yankees, and we'll see if Philadelphia is able to get beyond Seattle. I think that they will. A couple of interesting side notes. The Rays get knocked out, and what's very sad about this team is you could hear that the people were at the Trop and had come out, and it was their second sellout crowd. Think about that, 162 games, all of that. Second sellout crowd for the Rays. The first one was opening day. So
it's a nice bookend.
It is a nice bookend, but I wouldn't want to be the owner. Stuart Sternberg is just the abysmal attendance. He's, he doesn't like it. He's got to be frustrated by this. I mean, check this out. They sold out Game 3, 32,828 fans, but only 28,000 and change showed up for what turned out to be the clinching win for the Rangers at 4-3. And he's right. The television ratings are down. And at some point, he said, we're 4 years into winning. And he's saying, we don't control our own destiny. And this is not a good model. And he's right. Tampa Bay's reached the playoffs three times in the past 4 years. Two AL East titles, a World Series appearance in 2008. But the attendance is just going in the opposite direction.
They've got a really likable team, too.
They do. I like the team.
It's like a scrappy bunch.
Yes.
And they're good. Their manager's awesome. I think they just, your brother lives there, so he probably knows more than we do, but they got to move that stadium closer to Tampa.
I think so, too. I think that's part of the problem. It's a little bit out. If it were closer, if this were downtown, I think it would play better. Absolutely. And they don't. They play well. Matt's right. They're scrappy. Evan Longoria and some of the others on this team are, I think they're fun to watch. And for the poor players, it has to be frustrating, too.
And the heart of that team is all under 30. They're very young. Desmond Jennings, Evan Longoria, David Price, Matt Moore. They have young guys. They're going to be around forever if they can keep the team together, if the fans will come out and support them. But if they don't, it's going to go the way of Carl Crawford. He left. And a lot of the other pitchers, they're starting to leave. It's going to be bad if they can't support that squad.
Yeah, it is. I don't envy him that position, because how are you turning a profit? Their payroll for 2010 was $71.9 million. It got chopped up to $41.9 million on opening day of this season. It was the second lowest in baseball, of course, right behind Oakland. They are looking at options for a new stadium. It's in preliminary phases, but are they going to really get the support of the people? I hate to say it, but all the snowbirds are Yankee fans, and the Yankees are a bigger deal than the Rays are. What's wrong with this picture?